And now we go to an interview with Mark Barrett, who is up to his usual hijinks. Mark, are you there?
Hi, Doug. Yeah.
Mark, what are you up to? You're walking from Runnymede to Downing Street today and tomorrow, is that right?
It is correct, yes.
Where have you got to?
We're about a quarter of the way. We're sitting in a pub right now having a bite to eat.
Nice one.
In great, civilised fashion.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. So what's it all about?
Well, we are walking because of the civil rights situation in England right now. We're very keen to sort of highlight the infringements on our rights, and also to give hope for a better future. The idea of a written constitution to rein in on sort of arbitrary use of power that's going on right now. The exclusion zone's there waiting for us, so we're not quite sure what's going to happen to us at Downing Street.
Yeah.
Keen for people to come down and support us tomorrow, which is the anniversary of the Magna Carta.
Mm, so, what time will that be?
Well, we want to watch the football, Dougie. The football's on at 5, I think. So we're aim to be there for around 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. So,
right.
We're going to talk to the people. Hopefully, we're going to get some of the tourists who are around to like let them know what we're doing. We're going to burn the Magna Carta in front of Downing Street. That's the plan. So we're hoping that we won't get arrested, but we're not really sure what's going to happen.
Which will be symbolic of the loss of civil liberties.
Exactly. So, like 791 years ago, this sort of threshold, this settlement was made between the aristocrats and the king, and it was the first time that it had been established that the king couldn't just do whatever he or she wanted to do. So, yeah. We need to do make sure that Blair can't carry on the way he is.
Yeah, and you're walking. Are you having a pleasant time along the Thames there?
It's pretty nice, yeah, because we were worried that it was going to be like pissing down, but it hasn't been. It's been dry, so it's nice. The flowers are out. And, it's good.
Great. Well, look, have a great time today and tomorrow. I hope you avoid the attentions of the constabulary tomorrow so that you can see the game. I don't think a cell will have TV in it, you know. Enjoy.
Can I get a quick... my friend Prasanth, who's involved in Parliament Square, on Friday at Rampart, he is doing an event for street children. He's Indian, and it's for street children in India. He's involved in like projects over there. So it's a party night, but it's for a benefit. So
okay.
If anyone can come down to Rampart, and it'd be great to meet up.
Yeah.
If they can't come tomorrow, then come along on Friday because we haven't publicised it much. So
okay, Mark, we've got a very tight show. Got to go.
Thank you.
Cheers.
All right,
bye.
Have fun. Bye.
I'd like to say I'm proud to be British, but I'm not. But I love the town I come from and the place that I grew up. Most of the people have good things to say, but they've given up trying to be heard. I've been reading John Pilger in the Morning Star. It doesn't matter where you're from, but who you are. And I can't be proud of a country that's causing pain. And we've done it again and again. I love our rivers, love our coastline, what's left of our green, but I won't wear the Union Jack or sing God Save the Queen. Human, but I'm not. 'Cause all that we discover, we destroy. And I know if we found life on Mars, we'd take that too. And we'd do it again and again. I'd like to say I'm proud to be British, but I'm not. But I love the town I live in now. Most of the people have good things to say, but they've given up trying to be heard. love our coastline, what's left of our green. But I won't wear the Union Jack or sing God Save the Queen. I love our rivers, love our coastline, what's left of our green. But I won't wear the Union Jack or sing God Save the Queen. I love our rivers, love our coastline, what's left of our green. But I won't wear the Union Jack or sing God Save the Queen.
And that was Tracy Curtis, who's currently on tour with Attila the Stockbroker. I picked that up from our colleagues and sister station up in Manchester, the Under the Pavement show. Some more stories now. On Sunday the 11th of June, London No Borders and No One Is Illegal organised a small demonstration outside the gates of News International at Wapping. The protest against the vigilante journalism stunt reported in previous week's News of the World and indeed in our show last week, where employees of the paper had made false promises of work to migrants, then picked them up in buses to take them to work, but instead delivered them to Colnbrook Detention Centre, where they were interviewed and detained. Protesters questioned the legality of the kidnapping of the migrants and hoped that a prosecution might ensue. They said they deplored the vicious anti-immigrant atmosphere being encouraged by sections of the media and asked which will be the next group to be targeted for some illegal action by what they called newspapers peddling hate. In related news, ministers have decided that it'd be a great money-saving ploy if access to free legal advice is curtailed, presumably responding to the news that over 98% of fast-track asylum cases from Harmondsworth Detention Centre are rejected. The Legal Services Commission has decided that unless a migrant has a more than a 40% chance of success, the case must be dropped. For more, see www.ncadc.org.uk. And now on to another newspaper, this one peddling something entirely different, Peace. On the 6th of June, Peace News celebrated 70 years of radical peace publishing. First published in 1936, it's been a key communicator in multiple campaigns over the decades. In the Second World War, Peace News was the main lifeline for conscientious objectors to the prevailing view that Britain had to fight war and oppression with organised violence of its own, managing to keep publishing despite widespread official and unofficial disapproval. In the 1950s, Peace News played a central role in the rise of the anti-bomb movement, with the first ever Aldermaston March being organised from its offices. Peace News went on to become effectively the unofficial paper of the radical wing of the growing nuclear disarmament movement, the Direct Action Committee Against Nuclear War, and the Committee of 100, which existed alongside the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament. Peace News' coverage of the US black civil rights movement, nuclear testing in the Pacific, and apartheid South Africa exemplified its commitment to international reporting, a commitment which continues to this day. In the 1970s, Peace News was awarded the prestigious Scoop of the Year award from Granada TV for breaking the story of a former SAS colonel setting up a private army. Peace News then turned its attention to direct action against nuclear power stations and, in the 1980s, actions against cruise missiles and opposition to the Falklands War. True to its radical roots, the birthday will be marked by an all-day event at an occupied social centre in London to take place from 11 a.m. till midnight on Saturday the 17th of June. Be more about that on the Peace News website, see www.peacenews.info. And hopefully just a time for a few events to be announced. This week is National Refugee Week, see www.refugeeweek.org.uk for lots of events. And next week is the Summer Solstice with a Stonehenge event on Tuesday the 20th of June. So if you can get along to that, that is a lot of fun. I was there last year. And finally, 24th of June, Climate Gangsters Party against the American Embassy. See more at the Climate Campaign Against Climate Change website if you're interested in that one, campaigncc.org.
Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Tuesday, June 13, 2006.
Army arrests three residents from Tulkarem and two from Nablus. The Israeli army invades Jenin and unknown gunmen burn the PLC offices in Salfit. One youth, arrested from Bethlehem, Al-Quds Open University students protest in Beit Zahur, Gaza shelled by Israeli Air Force killing 9 and injuring 20, Palestinian resistance fighters ambush army vehicles in Nablus. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Israeli Air Force jet fighters fired several missiles at a car in Salah Ad-Din Street in Gaza City Tuesday afternoon, killing 9 and injuring 20. According to medical sources, there are children among those injured and killed. Ambulances are evacuating the injured and the bodies to the local hospitals. Local sources said that the car belongs to activists from the Islamic Jihad.
The Israeli army arrested 3 residents during a pre-dawn invasion to the West Bank city of Tulkarem Tuesday. Infantry troops and army vehicles stormed the city as soldiers fired live rounds and sound bombs randomly at residents' houses. Troops conducted a house-by-house search campaign before arresting Mohammed Al-Taha, 35, Osama Awad, 25, and Mohammed Awad, 27. The 3 men were taken to unknown locations, eyewitnesses reported. Meanwhile, another army special unit invaded Isbit al-Jarad area in the city and took positions on rooftops and fired heavily towards the Palestinian intelligence headquarters in the area before storming and searching it. There were no arrests or injuries, local sources reported.
2 more Nablus residents were arrested Tuesday at dawn as the Israeli soldiers continued their military campaign in the West Bank city. Soldiers stormed the residents' houses in several parts of the city and arrested Mohammed Maarouf, 18, and Ali Maarouf, 22. The men were taken to an unknown location.
Palestinian resistance fighters from the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, the armed wing of Fatah, have ambushed Israeli military vehicles in the West Bank city of Nablus Tuesday morning. The brigades confirmed in a press release that one of their activists attacked an army vehicle with 2 Molotov cocktails in an ambush of the Ad-Dawar area in the city of Nablus. The brigade said in their press release that another group ambushed another Israeli military vehicle in Al-Quds Street in the city. They confirmed that they will continue their resistance against the Israeli occupation.
The Israeli army invaded the West Bank city of Jenin and clashed with local Palestinian resistance fighters Tuesday at dawn. According to local residents, troops and armored vehicles stormed the city while an undercover army unit attempted to infiltrate the Jenin refugee camp. The unit failed to get into the camp and clashed with the local resistance fighters. It is not known if there are any injuries. No arrests have been made as of the time of this report.
Army arrests resident while settlers attack farmers and burn fields in Hebron. The Israeli army have arrested 1 resident while settlers attacked and injured 5 farmers and burned their crops in Yatta village south of the West Bank city of Hebron. On Tuesday morning, settlers from the nearby illegal settlement of Ma'on attacked the farmers who were collecting their crops. Settlers used guns and clubs while the army arrested 1 farmer whose name remains unknown, local sources reported. Eyewitnesses said that the settlers set fire to the crops before leaving, which damaged a large area of farmland, the main source of income for the farmers.
Unknown gunmen have burned the Palestinian Legislative Council offices in the West Bank city of Salfit Tuesday morning. According to eyewitnesses, more than 10 masked gunmen stormed the office building, handcuffing the guard before setting it on fire. Palestinian fire brigades and police rushed to the scene along with the residents in an attempt to put the fire out. The local police have started an investigation of the attack. Local residents have also expressed their anger and condemned such attacks.
The Israeli army have arrested Ahmed Yassin, 17, from Ada refugee camp in the West Bank city of Bethlehem Tuesday at dawn. Troops stormed the refugee camp and searched several houses before arresting Yassin and taking him to an unknown destination, eyewitnesses reported.
With burning tires and stones, the students of the Al-Quds Open University in the West Bank city of Beit Zahur protested on Tuesday afternoon at the university's decision to be placed under the control of the Palestinian Authority instead of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Students, mainly from Fatah youth, closed the main street alongside the university, blocking traffic with burning tires. One of the demonstrators said that the students were also protesting against internal fighting and the financial hardship that PA employees are facing from not receiving their salaries over the last 4 months.
And that's just some of the news for today in Palestine. For constant updates, check out the International Middle East Media Centre website, www.imemc.org. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupy Bethlehem, this is Palestine Today, brought to you by Penny Quinton,
Maya Williams-Carpenter,
and Ghassan Benoura.
For the last hour, you've been listening to Indie Media. This is Resonance 104.4 FM. It's 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. So here's Late Lunch with Out to Lunch and a special conceptually anti-conceptual broadcast. And in reply to Esther Leslie's suggestion that we adopt Chuck Berry's Woodpecker as our theme tune, here's something that differentiates Late Lunch rockology from that of the late John Peel.